Cliff?
From my point of view, there is a societal public health issue that this raises, and it really was raised during Amon's talk. What percentage in total of all the patients on ATAC have had any recurrence to date? What's the total number with a recurrence?
Less than 15%.
Okay, so that's exactly what I wanted to get at. So the real problem we have right now is that what we're debating is what's the best treatment for the tiny subset of patients who we treat who actually develop recurrence. And the decision about tamoxifen and AI for the vast majority of patients is 100% about the toxicities only. Most patients who get these drugs in the adjuvant setting will never be hearing from their breast cancer again. The point I'm getting at is the decision about which treatment to give is being predicated on the efficacy in a very small subset of patients, and our real task is to find those patients, because the majority of patients around the world who are going to get an aromatase inhibitor instead of tamoxifen are getting it because it's a better drug, but it isn't really better for them. It doesn't matter which one they got. And it's not to say they don't need treatment. Maybe the recurrence would have been 30% without these drugs, one or the other. They're effective therapies.
I think there's no question estrogen depletion is a better strategy against the breast cancer than a SERM. I think the question is whether in the long run, giving it to a group of good prognosis patients, we will pay the piper.
We need a way of integrating in our thinking all of the endpoints, not just the recurrence endpoint.
In higher risk patients, to me, an AI makes perfect sense.
There is a but, though, which is that I don't think we know, and to pick up on what Kent kept saying, I don't think we know that an AI up front is necessarily better than a SERM followed by an AI.